Hey friend, I'm Julie Slattery, and thanks for joining me for Java with Julie. This podcast is an outreach of Authentic Intimacy, a ministry dedicated to reclaiming God's design for sexuality, and that is exactly where we're headed in this episode. With me today is my friend, Dr. Jennifer Degler. Jennifer is a psychologist and the founder of Jennifer Degler Ministries. Today, Jennifer and I are going to talk about what an accurate picture of female sexuality looks like. You're going to hear about how female sexuality is different from male sexuality. You'll learn how you can prepare your body to experience sexual pleasure and to respond sexually. And if sex is painful for you, how you can investigate the cause and find treatment. And guys, this episode is one for you too, because I know figuring out females is not an easy thing. So Dr. Jennifer is here to help us with that. You know, our culture has really given us a skewed picture of our bodies and how our mind should respond sexually as women, for sure. But it's also given us a pretty skewed picture of what healthy sexuality looks like in marriage. And that's why I'd love for you to consider joining us for our Authentic Intimacy Reclaim Conference. It's going to be right here in Cleveland, Ohio, October 14th and 15th. So here's the best part. Dr. Jennifer Degler is one of my featured guests at that conference. And so you can join me, Dr. Jennifer Degler, and Dr. Mike Seitzma, the Authentic Intimacy team, and so many members in our community right here in person. And in these 2 days of teaching, you're going to learn the difference between having sex and building intimacy. You're going to be challenged to address any violations of trust that make sex feel too vulnerable. And you'll be encouraged to pursue intimacy, even through the busy years of parenting and difficult life circumstances. With a complete picture of God's design for sexuality, you can begin asking the right questions and begin working together towards true sexual intimacy. Registration for this conference is open, and hey guys, pay attention, our early bird deadline is approaching really soon. Between now and July 15th, you can get 20% off your ticket price. That's a savings of anywhere between $20 and $40, so you don't want to miss it. The discount ends July 15th. Get your tickets now, and we'll put a link to register in our show notes and at AuthenticIntimacy.com. And to give you a little taste of what the teaching of that conference will be like, let's head to the coffee shop for my conversation with Dr. Jennifer Degler. Well, Jennifer, your calling and ministry overlaps somewhat with mine. We both talk to women about sex, right?
That's right. We are probably both known as the sex lady.
Do you get referred to as that?
I do. Around in Kentucky, I am known as the sex lady. And it's not just Jeff that calls me that. It's other
people. Yeah. Can I just give that title to you? And whenever anybody calls me that, I can say, no, you're talking about Jennifer Degler, not me.
Oh, I'll refer him right back. Oh, no, it's Julie. It's Julie. You've got the wrong J woman. It's Julie.
No, you can be the sex lady. That's all right. Yeah, I'll just be Julie.
Okay.
Do you feel weird when people call you that, or have you just kind of gotten used to it?
You know, I have gotten used to it, and I figure there are worse things you can be called than the sex lady, and truly, I think my family gets a pretty big kick out of it.
So. I'll bet. Have you ever been called anything worse than the sex lady?
Well, you know, sometimes people do get confused, and they think I'm a sex therapist. Do they do that to you?
They do.
I have to clarify that I think we're both clinical psychologists and not sex therapists. So,
yeah. You know, I'd say some of what we teach overlap, but God also has given us each kind of little unique niches in all of what we're doing. And what I know you for the best is really understanding female sexuality and helping particularly married women get their groove on, for better. Is that a good way to put it?
Right. Fan that flame. Oh, yes. I love to talk to Christian wives about this, because I guess coming out of just my own struggle as a wife and trying to figure out what happened to my libido and how can I get myself back into drive, because we just tend to, as women, we're always in neutral sexually.
Yeah.
And so out of that desire to bring some life and some spark into that part of our marriage, that out of that came our ministry, Sea Wives, to help Christian wives make their marriages sizzle.
Mm-hmm. So you said, how do I get back my libido? So does that mean that you at one point had a libido and then it went away?
Well, and I'd, yes. And you know, Julie, I was sexually active before I got married. And so I had gotten things really messed up. And I feel like God is so good to take our mess and turn it into our message, and to take our pain and turn it into our purpose. And so having been sexually active before I got married and just getting things all twisted up in my mind, then once I really even just got engaged, I was really afraid of staying connected with my sex drive. I was afraid I would really mess things up. And so I began to shut down even before I got married. And then after we were married, it was interesting. So many times we think that ring is going to go on our finger and all of a sudden we're going to feel completely healthy towards sex and we're going to have this amazing sex life. But I didn't find that that was true for me. I had a lot of work to do to untangle the things, the lies that I had believed and how I had even programmed my body to really only respond to sex outside of marriage when there was kind of an illicit quality to it, mm-hmm. versus now I'm married and it's, you know, God's okay with this now, but I don't have that charge that's coming from doing something that I actually think is wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a number of years to kind of untangle all of that. And then as well, just figure out, okay, female sexuality is different than male sexuality. So what does that look like as a married woman to have this ongoing sexual relationship? And so figuring out mind, body, spirit, how do we make that work as women? Mm-hmm.
So when you were a young wife and you were encountering just all this confusion and really shut down sexually in your marriage, did you have a woman that you could walk through and talk this out with, or were you kind of battling it on your own?
I was totally on my own, and it would have been so helpful for me to have a woman to mentor me. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to create materials to help wives, because so many times there isn't a woman in your community, or perhaps there is, but you don't know about her. Mm-hmm. At your church that would be comfortable helping you and shepherding you through what it looks like to be a sexual woman in a marriage. And one time I did have a woman that was discipling me, and we did talk a little bit about sex, but that really wasn't her forte either. And so I have an entire shelf of practically every book I think I do own every Christian book ever published on sex.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I think I have all those same books.
Yes. Those were helpful to me. And then as well, reading those, and of course, I mean, there really wasn't an internet when I first got married, so I couldn't access, there were no podcasts to listen to. And so I think women today have a lot more resources that they can access. And there's just more material published now for women to access to help them. I love your stuff, Julie. We sell your stuff. When I speak on sex, we have your stuff there. Love, Passion, Pursuit, Love, Sex, and the Single Girl, just to give women resources to help them untangle their thinking. That would have been so helpful to me back 30 years ago.
Well, I feel the same way. You know, I wish I had the kind of resources that are available today. And I've shared with our audience over the years that I was in a similar situation and really didn't have anywhere to go for help. And I'm not sure if you were like me. I was studying to be a psychologist in practice while I was still struggling with my own silent issues. Was that your story as well?
Absolutely. I graduated from college as an undergraduate in May, and I got married in June and started graduate school in August. And so as I'm learning how to be a couples therapist, I'm trying to figure out how do I be married? And and the training, I didn't go to a Christian school to get my graduate degree. So some of the things that I learned about couples counseling and the things to even recommend to couples to help wives and women with their sexuality are things I never did recommend them, because I knew as a believer it was not a good idea to use pornography to stir up your libido. I knew that didn't line up with God's word, and so I never recommended that. But then I found myself thinking, but what do we do? Mm-hmm. You know, so that would have been so helpful to have had more resources, you know, we are provided now.
Mm-hmm. So what was it for you that began the journey of healing? And you talked about uncovering lies and learning a biblical truth around sexuality. Was there an event or a person that kind of gave you direction in seeking help?
Well, I think part of it was I actually was getting a MOPS group started, a Mothers of Preschoolers group started at my church.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to do a February presentation on sex. And I said, I don't speak on sex. And they're like, well, you're a psychologist. You should be able to do that. And I was like, well, no. Can I talk about decorating a table or cooking? And they were like, no. We need to hear about this. And so I thought, all right. Okay. I'm going to find out about this. And so I had questions I wanted answered. So I made this presentation all about what I wanted to know about my body. And it was so helpful for me as a woman to understand, for instance, that, you know, in our culture, women tend to look at their sexuality and compare it to male sexuality and then say, I have a problem because I'm not in drive all of the time. I have a problem because I don't think about sex all the time like my husband does. I have a problem because sometimes sex is painful for me and it's never painful for my husband. I have a problem because sometimes I have trouble orgasming and my husband never has trouble orgasming. So I must not be normal. When in fact, as I began to study, I realized that's actually, all of those are normal experiences for women. And we need to understand that and then be able to find help for those things rather than just saying, well, I just have to live with these different problems. So that was really helpful for me to understand how my body worked, to understand my menstrual cycle and how it affected my sex drive. I never knew any of that. And that was very illuminating. And then to understand, okay, the whole culture has given me a skewed view of what female sexuality even is supposed to look like. And as I can untangle that, then I can really embrace who I am as a sexual person. And it does not look like what you would see in the movies or what you would think based on popular music or what you might see in the media, because that is not an accurate picture of female sexuality.
So what is an accurate picture? I think all we hear today is females are complicated sexually, which is true, right? They're a little more complicated than male sexuality. But if you were to paint a picture for us of what is female sexuality and how do you describe it? Where do you even start?
Well, I think it's so much more than just your gender, male, female, or intercourse. Sexual activity. Female sexuality encompasses everything about you related to being a sexual person. And so that's how you feel about your body, how you feel about men, how you feel the level of desire that you feel, the responsivity of your body, just encompassing mind, body, and spirit, female sexuality. And we tend to, as women, we can get this picture that sex is just about our genitals, that's what it's about. And it's not. We are created in the image of God. And God is a triune God, Father, Son, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we're a trinity too, of mind, body, and spirit. And since we bear the image of God, that means we bear our sexuality on all of those things. Yes, in our body, but also in our spirit and also in our mind with our emotions and with our attitudes. And so when we're really looking at female sexuality, it is complex and it is much bigger than we would so many times that we want to just put it in this little box. And if one part of it's not working, then we just say as women, I'm not a sexual person. And I'm not even going to explore what female sexuality is because it's too complex or it's too hurtful or there's too much pain there. But in fact, you are a sexual being Even if you're having some trouble right now in your sex life, you are still a sexual being. So it is complex, but it's wonderful as well. And I think, Julie, if we look at even the way God created our genitals, can we talk about our genitals for a minute?
We can. Okay? Yes. Go
is that
for
okay
it.
On Java with you.
Everything's okay on Java with you.
Okay. Well, I just think if you even look at the male reproductive system and then you look at the female reproductive system, it's also reflective of male sexuality and female sexuality, because male sexuality is a strong, powerful force, and men tend to be more controlled by their sexuality than women do. And they're very straightforward. And if you even look at the genitals, they're very straightforward in man. And it's a fairly simple system, the way a man's reproductive system works. It's really kind of like a glorified water pistol, if you want to know the truth.
I've never heard it described that way.
But you look at a woman's reproductive system, it is so much more complex. There is this whole menstrual cycle that we go through every month that is complex. So every day of the month, a woman is just a little bit different hormonally with what's going on with her. And then if you actually look at our genitals, they're hidden away. Whereas for a man, there it is out there in front of God and everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't miss it. And with a woman, it is more hidden. And so there's more mystery there. And so most men are they find female sexuality quite mysterious, but so many women do too, because we haven't educated ourselves, about our bodies, how our minds work. And so I think part of this process of really embracing your female sexuality is educating yourself far beyond that 10th grade high school health class. We need to keep educating ourselves, because as women, it changes for us. You know, we go through that phase where we're having periods, and then we're pregnant, and then we're giving birth, and then perhaps we're nursing a baby, and then eventually we move into perimenopause and then menopause. And so there's so many things that are changing about us. It's just more complex than it is for men. I think it's wonderful, though.
Yeah, so tell me why that's wonderful. I think they're probably, particularly men listening, but also women that are like, this would just be more wonderful if it wasn't so mysterious and complex.
Well, I just love that it's complex, that a woman, God created a woman. Like, so he gave us this complexity, but then he also gave us some things that men don't have that I love as a woman. Like, I do think it's amazing that we get to carry babies. That mm-hmm. is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And that we can breastfeed a baby and we can keep another human being alive. That is something that is really incredible. But then there's also like the clitoris. What an incredible, wonderful little organ that God created for women. That's one of the ways we know that God created women to experience sexual pleasure, because the clitoris serves no other purpose other than sexual pleasure. And there is not a parallel organ on a man, because a penis is really, it's a multi-purpose tool. If you think about it, it is used for pleasure, but it's also used for procreation. It's used for urination. It's used for writing your name in the snow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Yes. But then there's this, God created women with this wonderful organ that is just for mm-hmm. pleasure. And then he also created women with this ability to have multiple orgasms, whereas men can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, things are more complex, but then there is also a beauty and a joy that comes from uncovering the mystery and figuring out the complexity of something. I just think we'd all be bored if we were exactly the same sexually.
I agree with you on that.
Bored with that.
Yeah. So Jennifer, even as you're describing that, and you talk about pleasure, you talk about women's ability to experience multiple orgasms, there are women listening that actually find that discouraging. because they've given up. And they're like, yeah, I keep hearing about how wonderful this is supposed to be, but it's never been that way for me. And so I've just kind of resigned myself to, I'm just never going to have that. So what's your first piece of advice to somebody who's experiencing that right now?
And Julie, my heart hurts for those women, and I also understand where those women are coming from, because I certainly went from a woman who was orgasmic before marriage and then got married and went years without having an orgasm. And then through a lot of work, that was something that God restored to me. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage women not to give up. And I think it's important as women that we continue to fan the flame in three ways with our sexuality, or else we really do become discouraged and want to just say, this is just never going to happen for me. And the first part of, I call this the sexual desire triangle that women have. And the first is we need a body that is sexually responsive, a healthy body that is sexually responsive. And so many times there's been something that's making that body have trouble reaching an orgasm, achieving sexual pleasure. And so to really begin to investigate that, sexual pain is a huge issue for a lot of women and a barrier to sexual pleasure. And they just have resigned themselves that this hurts. Mm-hmm. Could be talking to a doctor and reading about figuring out what is causing this pain and how can this be treated, whether that's pelvic floor physical therapy or something else that they may need in that area. And then as well, looking at their energy level, looking at their stress level. Are they getting enough sleep? We know that more sleep equals better sex for women. Looking at all of those physical things, medication that they may be on that they're not even aware can be dampening their sexual response. So many women don't understand that even birth control pills can be really decreasing the ability of their body to experience desire and to orgasm. So getting help in looking at that part of making that body work well and going along with that is body learning to appreciate your body. Because if you hate your body, and so many women do, and that is a huge barrier to enjoying sex, as women will say, is I don't like the way my body looks. And so working in that area, the second part of the triangle is
Before you go to the second part, mm-hmm. I want to ask you more about the first part. Okay. Because I'll forget my question. Okay. But what you've described is so important. And as you've said, female sexuality is so complicated that there can be any number of problems that are contributing to painful sex or no orgasm, all these sort of things, medication, it can be hormones, you name it. And the common experience of a lot of women, this was even my experience, is you gather up the courage to go to your OB and you say, hey, you know, I've got a problem. Sex always hurts, or I've never orgasmed. And that takes so much courage to say that out loud. But most of the times what I've heard is that the doctor will do that quick once-over, give you the checkup, and say, hey, everything looks good to me. You should be fine. You know, just try having a glass of wine. And that woman feels even more discouraged because I went to get help, to try to seek help for my body, and I was told there's nothing wrong. Has that been your experience?
It has. And I have a friend who's an OB, and I asked her one time about that, and she said, Jennifer, we had 1 6-week course on sexuality. And if you think about it, they're OBGYNs. They're there for obstetrics and gynecology, not to be a sex therapist. And so certainly your doctor, I think if you're dealing with sexual pain, that's a good place to start to make sure that there isn't something that they can see that is an issue that may need their particular intervention. But so many times it may require that you do see a sex therapist, somebody who can actually help you understand more. Maybe there's particular positions that you need to be using in sex. Maybe there's some because you've got a tipped uterus or something like that that are better that you don't use. You can certainly look for books. There's a book that I've recommended before called When Sex Hurts, that helps, that, and it has so many things listed in there I've never even heard of. But you may be that one woman that particularly does have that condition. And so there are more doctors now who are trying to have more information about sexual pain and the treatment of that. But it may mean that you have to, particularly if you live in a smaller town, you may have to leave that smaller town and drive somewhere to see somebody in a bigger city that actually deals with these issues. And I know that's inconvenient, but it's like if you were diagnosed with some kind of cancer and there wasn't anybody in your town to treat it, you would figure out how you could get to the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
Because you would say, this is important. This is my life and this is important. And I'm going to keep searching until I find somebody that can help me. And I know it's discouraging and it's embarrassing. And it's not the kind of thing that you put on the church prayer request list like you would if you had cancer. But certainly, I would encourage you, if you've got even just one girlfriend, that you can say, would you pray for me? Because I need some people on my team. I need a sex team of people to help me. I need prayer support. And then I need perhaps a medical professional. Maybe I need a therapist, but somebody that can help me understand what's happening with my body so that I can have that body that is got a much better chance of being sexually responsive.
Really good advice. And I know we often get emails saying, okay, where do I go? And so we'll continue to try to build our resource list of, because I know particularly when you're talking about sexual issues, you want to go to somebody who's not going to give you bad advice or immoral advice. So it's important to know who's safe.
Exactly. And also to understand that, you know, most women do go once a year to see their OBGYN to get their pap smear. So that's convenient. And we think, okay, this is somebody they're dealing with down there. You know, we call it down there like it's Australia. But realize that's just a starting point. And so, for example, to see, is there someone in your area who does pelvic floor physical therapy? Because I've had several clients who have been able to achieve orgasm once they had pelvic floor physical therapy, or perhaps they were orgasmic and then they had some trauma related to childbirth and they can go and see a pelvic floor physical therapist. Many women don't even know that exists. Or it may be that you need it at one point in your life. You've never had an issue, but maybe as you approach menopause, that becomes something that becomes an issue for you. So just being aware there are resources there. And if you connect with that one person, your pelvic floor physical therapist may be able to tell you about other people who could be of assistance to you as well. Because we're kind of networked, aren't we, Julie?
We are. Yes. We find each other. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I invite you to join me next time to hear the other two legs in the sexual desire triangle. The first, as we talked about today, is a healthy and sexually responsive body. The second is emotional connection. And the third is a biblical and healthy attitude towards sex. Dr. Jennifer Degler will be back with me next time to talk about legs 2 and 3. But in the meantime, you can find a link to her website and a link to register for Reclaim in our show notes and at AuthenticIntimacy.com. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to having coffee with you next time on Java with Julie.